नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
mentioning bodily hunger and thirst.
we can understand that this is so for all the senses. So when our senses, non-acquiring senses, and working senses are not being nourished, or they're not in a state of balance, we become disturbed. When our tongue, when our belly, when our genitals are not satisfied, we become disturbed, and we exhibit anger towards those that are near and dear to us. So in the Sri Upadeshamrita, Srila Prabhupada is explaining very simply what it is very, very important that the yogi learns how to control their senses, in particular the tongue. Right, so from the tongue, not only are we speaking, but we're also partaking. So we're eating certain foods that suddenly agitate the mind. So we're using words to repeat what you're hearing, and words sometimes can be used in a very harsh demeanor, or they can be used to elevate one's consciousness. So being able to control the tongue is of importance to any yogi who is striving for self-realization, even when it comes to eating certain foods. So Vajra Vegam, Nasa Koda Vegam, Jiva Vegam, Gurupasa Vegam, Ezan Vegam, Yogi Sahita Diya, Sama Kapi, Abhimanthi Vegas Sassis Yat. That a solo person who can tolerate the urge to speak, the mind's demands, the actions of anger and the urges of the tongue, the belly, and the genitals, is qualified to make disciples all over the world. But it sounds like a very, very simple concept that, just tolerate your speaking, your urge to use your tongue, your belly, your genitals, and I can do that for a week. I can get a detox or a cleanse for a week. Right, but this is a systematic approach. This is long term, not just for 1 week, like how sometimes people do a little cleanse or a whole cleanse. Or they go through a weekend, your Vipassana meditation, just one weekend, you sign up to get your certificate, cheese, and you have your Vipassana, whatever. But this is not just for show, this is ongoing and long term for those who are actually on the path of perfection. Being able to tolerate the urge to speak, everyone of these things, you know, wants to speak, right? The internet has created or has given birth to so many Vedantists, to so many self-taught gurus or self-developed incarnations. You can see all these things on the internet that people are, they want to speak. They've learned something, they've seen something, they're going to speak about it and tell people how to behave, X, Y, Z, whatever it is, whether it's someone who wants to be known as a philosopher, whether it's someone who wants to be an activist, politicians, they're famous for always speaking. And sometimes it's like a puri. It's just puffed up hot air and then it just comes out, right? So sometimes that is what's happening. Everyone has this urge to speak. We're constantly consuming information from the educational institutions. Whether or not that is useful information, that depends on what you seek. We're consuming so much, and want to share it with the world. But for yogi, we're very particular of what we want to hear and what we want to repeat, because that influences our behavior, that influences those that are around us. So whether it's in the Upadeshamrita from the Bhagavad Gita, in the 6th chapter, Krishna also explains why it is important for a yogi to engage all his senses in Krishna conscious activities, and activities that will not only purify the senses, but elevate our consciousness, take us from the material degraded consciousness to Krishna consciousness. The mind is very demanding. We know the different parts of the Srimad Bhagavatam. Srila Prabhupada uses metaphors, he uses analogies, Srila Prabhupada uses similes sometimes to try to make a point, because sometimes we're very forgetful if it's just spoken simply or purely. So Prabhupada uses different examples. As you see here, the material world oftentimes is compared to different things. Here it is a blazing fire, the force of material life. It is a blazing fire. What else in the Bhagavatam? How else does Prabhupada explain the material world in the Bhagavatam when he uses different elements? Who can remember? A blazing fire.
A toilet.
Toilet. Intersection. let's understand what happens in a forest fire. We have them here in Australia. It ravages. It is very quick. It destroys. Who wants to live there? Even the animals flee. But a deep, dark well is covered, you see grass, it's misleading. There's a deep hole, you sink in it, no one can see, no one can hear you. Who would like to live there? Who would like to make that the permanent place of residence? Any takers? Deep, dark well? No light, no sun, no food, just deep, dark well, no one can, not anybody. It's a well, it's just you by yourself. Blazing forest fire. It's excruciating heat. You might get burnt, but hey, it's a blazing fire. Any takers? No, it's not. It does not sound good. No one wants to be there. So Prabhupada uses these strong examples to show us that this material existence is like that, actually. It burns us every single time. You think you're coming up for a breath. It's like a drowning man who gets happy when he comes up for a breath. You're still drowning. It's not a good situation. These are meant to remind us, because I don't know if you've noticed that we forget very quickly. We easily forget stuff. So these are mentioned regularly to remind us, don't get comfortable, don't get comfortable. Keep striving, just keep going. Because the more complacent you get, more difficult it is for you to strive to become Krishna conscious. So you're thinking, my body's great, I have a nice car, I live in Albert Park, or Holland, or Brighton, I'm in the first world, no one's wearing a mask, we're doing good corona-wise, it's all good, why do I need Krishna? Everything is working smoothly. Like copper, well-oiled machine. But when we open the gates, we're reminded, well then, how's your body? You're aging, you're forgetful, you're experiencing stress in the workplace, there's money issues, there's family issues. Then we're reminded, oh yeah, this is young, it's not that great. These things are not mentioned to depress us. We should walk out of here thinking, oh my God, it's over. Might as well jump in the ocean. It is to remind us, let's do our business of becoming Krishna conscious and leave. Let's not try to be comfortable in a place that does not even guarantee that you will be comfortable. Material nature does not guarantee it is going to behave nicely towards you. Miserable weather, snakes, spiders bite you. There's no guarantee that it's going to be comfortable. Why take that huge risk of having to come back again, take birth in a womb, and have to live this out again and again and again and again? So these points are being repeated. The example of the tortoise is given in the Bhagavad Gita, actually, where Prabhupada is explaining how the tortoise is there. It's very slow in general. So the tortoise does what it needs to do with its senses, and once it's done, the senses shut down. And so we do what we need to do with our senses, and once we're finished doing that, we retract the senses. We do not engage the senses in unnecessary activity. We want the senses to be purified. One who is able to withdraw his senses from sense objects as the tortoise draws its limbs within the shell is firmly fixed in perfect consciousness. And in the Purport, Prabhupada says, the test of a yogi or devotee or self-realized soul is that he is able to control the senses according to his plan. Most people, however, this is very, very difficult. They want to act very loosely and without restriction. Freedom. Liberated woman, liberated man. I can do what I like. When I have a hot summer, I'm going to express myself, no rules, don't judge me, hear me roar, these things are there. Acting loosely is seen as a sign of great achievement. The looser you are these days, the more support and the more attention you get. So now society starts rewarding that behavior. And we see it all around us. Dressing scantily or engaging in really not so subtle good activities, if you know what I mean. These behaviors are rewarded, and you see it also, you know, you're passing yourself online. Yeah, boy, we get a good wasted rule, you know, the whole thing. I've got it, you know, I'm saying this out of experience. When I was in, you know, teenager, lucky social media wasn't what it is otherwise. You know, embarrassing situations. The more we pose these, I'm like, yeah, I'm so wasted, and the picture of this type of behavior is being tolerated and is being encouraged. Yes, do it! Be free! Show yourself as a carefree person. You give zero, you know what, you care. People are not judging you. Give yourself, yeah! And but yes, yes, she's so fine. Yes, she's such an amazing person. Yes. But when everybody looks at this, or when a sober person looks at it, we understand. You have no sense control. You are going to crash and burn. By the time you're 16, 17, you've done everything. And sometimes when people come to Krishna consciousness, we can see that they are materially exhausted. They have chewed the chewed. Once again, Prabhupada is using it. I've tried it once. I was chewing an apple over and over again. And I take it out, come back later, and I chew it and chew it. And at some point, it's like, what is the point? My jaw hurts. There's no satisfaction coming from this anymore. Why am I doing this? And then I think Prabhupada always says, in the material world, we try to squeeze some enjoyment, and it's like chewing that which is already been chewed. We're trying to get enjoyment from something that will refute, that will not. Categorically, it will not give us any pleasure. And hence, at the one of the last, what does Prabhupada say? Prabhupada says, no one can be happy in family life. No one. Right. And it only is seen as when these senses are being compared, in the example of, you know, the tortoise subduing its senses, the same verse 258, Prabhupada explains that the senses are like serpents. Serpents move very swiftly. And you see it over the next thing it's here. Right, it goes on, whatever, it wiggles through the sand, the rattlesnake is gone. Before you know it, you're like, it's right in front of you. The senses are very swift, right? As soon as they catch something, they're gone. As soon as the senses see the scent of this, it's already there. So what is explained to you like a snake charmer? When we were growing up, I used to watch on TV, you know, these people who play with different mantras or merges of the fruit, and the snake comes and the snake behaves and the snake becomes subdued and listens to the master and fruit playing. The devotees are like snake charms, right? We never allow the snake, the senses, to just do whatever they like because it will be exhausted. And the nature of this material world is that material desire, which is what these senses and the sense objects are trying to drive us to, material desires can never be satisfied. It's like just you keep pouring ghee on the fire. They just keep burning. No matter how much you satisfy, you just keep wanting more and more. And because matter cannot satisfy the non-material self, we keep going back and trying to enjoy and chew what has been chewed. it is impossible. So when we sober up, when we gain mastery of our senses, we're able to control our senses and redirect the pleasure of the senses to the source of all pleasure, Sri Krishna. And by engaging our senses in that way, then our senses do not lead us to anger and frustration, even for something so simple as not having a meal or whatever the sense may be. We're able to control our tongue, we're able to control the urges of the belly by eating specific Krishna prasadam. We're able to control the genitals by practicing celibacy and only procreation. Right. This entire chapter where we're hearing this conversation, Sukadeva Goswami speaking to Maharaj Parikshit or Jadbrao or King or Hubana, wherever it is in the Bhagavatam, we get a clear understanding that the senses must be used for a higher purpose, otherwise the senses will drag us down to material consciousness and material existence. In this verse, in particular, Prabhupada in the Purport speaks about the happiness of family life as being compared to a drop of water in the desert. That's self-explanatory. We know that conditions of a desert is real, water is real. Right. We're in a material world, there's different ashrams that are bona fide, and we enter into those ashrams in a God-centered way. We're not chasing material pleasure. What we're chasing is service to Krishna within that union. So we may be reading these harsh, not harsh, but these blatantly true purpose from Srila Prabhupada, where he's explaining what family life is when the senses are out of control versus what it is when the two people involved are trying to tap into their highest nature, are trying to tap into their spiritual identity. In that way, they use their family life to elevate. They go to work to give Krishna consciousness. They maintain their Krishna conscious families. But it would be very dishonest to say that this statement is not true. And it's like a drop of water in the desert, because material family life means you go out there, you're fighting with the material energy, you're fighting with your own mind and the mind of others around you, and you go back home. There's more fighting there sometimes. The kids are pulling, they want this, the wife wants this, or the husband wants that. It's exhausting. You snap. You can't control your senses because your mind is being bombarded by material needs and wants. Your senses are being attacked from material needs and wants. And this state is not just with the man, the woman as well, because she goes out to work as well. Dealing with the initial energy is quite exhausting. But even for devotees, sometimes when you come back, the first thing you just want to hear, or when you get in the car on the way home, you just want to get a spiritual bath. You just want to hear the holy name. You just want to listen to a class to just wash away all that energy that you've been exposed to because you're out there maintaining yourself. That's the reality. I know this is my personal realization, having worked for a few years. At some point, you just want to get out, get in the car, just take your time. That's what you want to do. You have your prasadam with you in the workplace, you do what you gotta do, and you get out. But we go there to get what we need to get so we can maintain our Krishna consciousness. So, we learn to control the urges of the body by engaging our mind and our senses in Krishna service. And by doing that, not only are we able to steer away from the misery caused by material existence and just being in this material world, we're able to elevate our consciousness and rise against the turbulent mind. So I will stop here for now and I'll ask if there's any comments or questions.
Just a comment. I was thinking that if the material world is not described so drastically, then how will we become detached from it? So that's another reason why we have this section. There's no just great detachment.
Yeah, many sections that explain the reality. Because what happens is we, as I mentioned, we become complacent and comfortable in a place where we're not meant to be. So we need constant reminders because our memory is not so good. We need to be constantly reminded. And when you're on a battlefield, you know, you need to know what you're going up against. But if we think of the imagery of the Bhagavad Gita, when the battle is about to begin and Krishna is asked by Arjuna to drive his chariot in between the armies so he can see what's going on. He wants to see who am I up against, what sort of conditions are we in, what's the competition. So he drives up and Arjuna is able to see everything. So we're in the material world, we need to understand what we're up against. We need to understand how these bodies function, what the limitations of the body are, what the constraints are, the positive way you can use the material body. You need to understand the material energy, how it affects us, how it affects those that are around us, and how much you get affected by all these lust, anger, greed, envy, illusion, madness, prajapa, the whole skill, how to deal with maya and the external energy. We need to be educated on that so that we can become successful. These pointers are not given so that we give up and just say, oh, well, I'll never be able to deal with this, so I might as well just forget about it. No, it's meant for us to know what to avoid, how to avoid it, what processes to follow. Shravanam, Chetanam, Vishnu, Smaranam. Right? It's given the rebels to read. Where to go, who to associate with. So all these things are given so that we can become successful. Yes, sir.
Thank you for the nice question. My question is, when we listen to the class, we remember that the material world is not great. But then when we come up, we forget to tell them whatever the material
world
is. So how do we make sure
that we don't forget? At this age, I was asking such questions. Sydney, how old are you?
Nine.
So Sydney, 9 years old, she's asked, I'll repeat the question. She's saying that when we're in class, we hear the facts of the material world, and we leave class, we forget. So what can we do to make sure that we're not in a state of forgetfulness when we leave the class? Like the sages always say that we should hear Bhagavatam regularly. I will repeat what His Holiness Devanita Swami said, that when you're at home as well, you read Srimad Bhagavatam regularly, or you listen, or you read your books or with your parents. And if you hear it every day, you will remember. The more you hear about what the natural world is like, the more you hear about who you are as a soul of Krishna, chances are you will remember that more. Right? In the beginning, even just the 16 names of Hare Krishna mantra, it took me 2 to 3 days to memorize the mantra. So I had to practice every day. Hare Krishna, Krishna, I had to practice. Learning the, I still have my shloka book, going in the ashram, learning shlokas. So every day repeating the same thing, and then you don't forget. So if you do it over and over again, if we listen to the Bhagavatam regularly, then we won't forget. So that is the trick. We listen regularly, and we also ask our parents to help us as well. And then we won't forget.
Hare Krishna, Mataji, thank you for the prayer. My question is that, when we hear, the material world is disgusting, so then, how do we implement it? Then we go outside and then we say that, okay, the material world is okay, but then how do we implement it on ourselves? Then we read Bhagavad and we also forget, so then, it doesn't help in the world itself. To me, it doesn't help. So then, how do we?
The question is, how do we implement what we read from the Bhagavatam, which is one of the guidelines when you're learning about Krishnashtri, practical application. Whatever you read, we're supposed to put it into action. So the Bhagavatam speaks a lot about how the nature of the conditioned soul, me and you. Right? We're forgetful, we make mistakes, we get illusioned. Do you make mistakes sometimes at school? Yeah, you mistake something or we don't get the right answer, we don't have a good memory. So Bhagavatam is, whenever that happens, just remember that Bhagavatam said it first. Right? When you're outside, when we see people not feeling happy or difficulties, the Bhagavatam is telling us that happiness in this world will come and it will go. Just like in the morning, the sun is going to rise, it's going to set. Now we're getting to winter season, summer season will come. So we, during the times of the day, we see the sun, we see the seasons changing. We remember this, Bhagavatam is explaining this. So whatever we see out there, you try to remember what does Bhagavatam say about it. The material world is not a nice place. There's danger at every step, right? There's accidents happening, there's natural disasters. Sometimes when I'm driving, I see trucks of animals being driven somewhere. Or when you go to the supermarket, you see some different species of life. And we understand what Krishna wants us to eat. And we look at the other species and we're thinking, these species are not meant to be killed. But then we understand Bhagavatam is teaching us that. So when we get older, when we talk with our friends, we can share all these things that we are saying. I eat vegetarian foods because I do not want to harm the environment and contribute to, these animals that we need to take care of. So starting from what you eat to where you go to school, who you see, how you play, you can teach them small things like that.
Okay?
Yes, Mahaprabhu.
You are telling the children, read Bhagavatam, read verses.
I'm telling everyone.
Yeah.
But
then how we answer to the answer?
How what?
In the examination. Certain questions are asked. How do they answer if they are just reading Bhagavatam?
What exam?
Say,
school
examination.
Okay.
If you are in medical school, they ask you Parkinsonism. How does it happen? How does it affect the human being? How it results? So if you don't know that, how will you pass the picture?
When
you have to do both sides.
Okay.
You have to tell them. Books.
Okay, for the 9-year-old and for everyone listening, when you're in a workplace or when you're at school, the question was in particular, how do I remember what we get from Bhagavatam when I'm outside? That was the question. What you're mentioning is that when you're already in school, you have your tests and everything, you have to study for school. That's a fact of life. I studied political science. So I had to study certain books, I studied editorial stuff. So I had to study certain books for my education. That's something separate. We need to do that. I studied for my driving test. We need to do that. Because how we situate ourselves, we will use that to maintain our Krishna conscious lifestyle. We go to work to give. Or if you're a doctor, engineer, I was going to be a politician. Anyway, you do all these things to maintain yourself so that you can have a Krishna conscious lifestyle. You can pay to visit the holy town, to go to a retreat, you can support the temple, you can support the brahmacharis, the brahmacharis, you can support different projects. And that is how your income becomes purified, and that you're offering your hard-earned work to Krishna. And that's how it gets purified. We all don't need to go running to the mountains or rushing to the ashrams. Wherever we are situated, we can engage in bhakti. Go through school, go through work, do what we have to do, but we can always remember Krishna and offer our fruits to Krishna. Because that all belongs to Krishna anyway. So we do what we have to do. We play our part, but we never forget Krishna. Okay, one last question before we depart. No? All done? Thank you very much.